Now here's Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio.
Tell all the hunters to lay down their guns.
Hey, welcome in. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Your home for Golden Knights hockey, Frank Harnish. Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman. The guys back in the studio, the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas Studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... And so, like, is this the new theme song or something every day now, or what?
Until you start watching Tiger King, yep.
Yeah, it's going to listen by then.
I can give him a home, safe and warm.
I'm assuming that you're enjoying this, Ryan, so I'm
letting 100%, you, yeah.
So I'm letting you enjoy it.
It's a shame this isn't actually Joe Exotic.
You got to let it marinate a little
bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Every time they breathe, I can feel their power. I can feel their peace.
All right, I think it's marinated enough. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
You're
home for
the
Vegas Golden Knights hockey.
I saw a tiger, the tiger saw man.
Oh, it's so good. Frank, it's so good. Every day, buddy, until you watch Tiger King.
Yeah, it's going to last a while then.
Okay, I'm down.
All right, whatever.
Good thing it's a beautiful song.
Whatever. Well, it's, you know,
I saw a tiger, and a tiger saw a man.
We've probably played worse, so I don't know how much worse.
There's a good chance
we will. Yeah. Gee, what a shocker.
Well, I mean, we've got Here Kitty Kitty in the back pocket, so I don't know. I have to see if that one is okay for the airwaves.
I think so.
Yeah. I haven't listened to it, so like legitimately listened to it. I haven't done that, so we'll have to check on Here Kitty Kitty. That
it is about death.
Well, sure. That one's more of a rocker, though, so maybe Frank would like it.
You know, what? I found out from our guest today that Joe Exotic lip syncs. He was the one who tweeted it out, so we know he's a fan.
Well, yeah, I think that we're gonna have to for sure get into that in depth as much as humanly possible. But Frank, I know that you're dying to move on to something else, anything else. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay, I guess, you know, as well as can be expected. Did get some, I don't know if you call it disappointing news or if just kind of news that I don't think it's really shocking to anybody, but since we are the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, we should probably talk a little bit about hockey. And the NHL has included their quarantine extension back to April 15th. And maybe even a little bit more telling, just came down recently, and I know, Chris, you tweeted this out, that the Toronto has banned everything until June the 30th.
Right. So, and this has been kind of on a sliding scale, right? Like, this is the second time now, I think, that this self-isolation period for the NHL has been pushed back. I would expect that this time next week, it'll be pushed back another 7 days and so on and so on and so on until the next step happens. And I don't know what the next step looks like. I don't know what the curve needs to look like in order for organizations to start to lift these types of restrictions, but we'll take it one day at a time. Now, the information coming out of Toronto that all group gatherings are banned until June 30th, that one I think is the most telling, because quite honestly, if that's the case, nothing can come back until at least the end of that date. So it's fascinating times, but I think that we're in for the long haul on this one, as we've been talking about now for a little while. I think that at first there was some optimism. There was some hope that it would be a relatively short pause, but it seems like it's going in the opposite direction right now, and we're in for a little bit longer of a wait.
No, I know I was listening to a little bit of the Doug Gottlieb show, who's on right before us here on the Fox Sports Network, And he was talking about that, the ban in Toronto until June the 30th. Basically, obviously the first baseball game's not going to be able to be played right now until at least July 1st at the earliest. At least that's in stadiums with people. They were talking about, the NBA is talking about that, should they resume their playoffs or you know, if they resume their season, that they could be a possibility of doing what they had done before all this stuff really broke and they started quarantining everybody and playing it in front of empty stadiums. Do you think that would be a possibility in the NHL, that if they open some things up a little bit but still closed it down to big crowds, that there would be a possibility of playing? I can't imagine an NHL playoff game with the playoff intensity being played in front of an empty stadium, but would that be better than not playing them at all?
Well, I guess it depends on what question you're asking. Is it better for the fans in general to have some hockey than no hockey? Absolutely. But you have to ask yourself this question. If you're the NHL, what revenue are you generating from that?
Like, well, obviously just the TV revenue.
Well, yeah, but you make your money based on fans packing the stadium in the playoffs. So you're missing out on all that revenue, and you're actually incurring costs by having to have teams heading to and from and being in certain cities and all the travel. So I don't know if from a financial aspect that's going to make the most sense. I think if you're the NHL, you want to get back in, and you want to get back in with fans in the seats, because that's how you make up some of the revenue that you are certainly losing in this pause. But I mean, from a hypothetical standpoint, like, what's more important, the revenue or just giving the fans something to consume? I think that you always err on the side of the fans, and if that's a solution on the table, I'm sure the NHL would look at it, but I don't think it helps their bottom line in the coming years to try to make up the revenue lost from this pause.
Yeah, well, but I'm not sure if that would be the individual revenue of the teams from the people in the stands, because we know that TV does dictate a lot of stuff. I mean, that's why they were talking about at a certain point of having the NCAA tournament in front of empty stadiums and that, because the TV revenue is so big. Now, I know the NHL isn't as big as the NBA or the NFL, certainly, because nothing's as big as the NFL, but it would be curious. It would be interesting to see if somebody actually broke those numbers down to see how much of a loss it would really be, or would it actually in some ways maybe be a gain. It'd certainly be something, you know, that people are clamoring to watch something live on TV, because as much as, you know, we love watching the games of the past and the Vegas Golden Knights former games and the stuff that they've been showing on NBC Sports Network and, you know, classic games and all that, you love reliving some of those moments. But there's nothing like live sporting events, and there's no playoffs like the NHL playoffs.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring up the television aspect of it, because in England, there's actually talk about finishing the Premier League season behind closed doors. I mean, they only have 10 games remaining in the season, but what they were talking about was quarantining all the players like they do before a World Cup, and then playing the games over like a 2 to 3 week period. And this way, They satisfy the TV partners, because apparently that's the big holdup in them not just canceling the season, because apparently Sky Sports, who's a huge cable company over there, would lose so much money from them canceling the season that it's been discussed that this is a possibility. Now, in Korea, where they've actually gotten ahead of this thing, they were supposed to start their season, I think, April. They're talking about right around April 20th. And they're going to play behind closed doors, I believe. And Taiwan is going to do the same. So, I mean, there are things out there that are options. But when you see Toronto banning the gathering thing till June 30th, it really makes you wonder if this is just a frugal thing on our end to hope that we're going to get the season in. Because my guess is that's probably a telltale sign that we're probably not.
Well, I guess the secondary question, too, is what is a public gathering? You know what I mean? Because, like, when you look at essential personnel for an NHL team, you're talking about probably 40 people. So if you have two teams in an arena at the same time, you're talking about, like, 80 people plus media, if you're opening it up to media, which I would assume you would, because you'd like to have those stories generated about your sport. So you're talking about 120 people in the arena. Is that under that guideline? Is that under that line where you can't be above or below? Like, I just think that it seems like empty arenas are a possibility, but then you start to look at the actual logistics of what that would mean and how many people would be in the space, and you have to ask yourself if that's even possible.
Yeah, and I wonder if I'm sure that they're looking at all the different options. We know that Bill Daly and Gary Bettman have said that they're looking at all sorts of different stuff. I wonder if maybe Essential Media, maybe they just, you know, maybe it would just be cameramen in that, and they could even possibly take some of the announcers and stuff like that and have them in a separate room from the arena watching it on TV kind of like the rest of us and still trying to do the play-by-play, which would make their job more difficult. But I'm sure there's a lot of different options there. But you are right. I mean, what is essential? Who actually physically has to be in the building and who doesn't? And certainly in an arena, the social distancing would be no problem. 100 people in a 20,000-seat arena would be incredibly empty. But, you know, they're going to be empty, and we realize that. But I'm just wondering, and I'm not even sure that it's putting hope out there that we have it. I think they're just trying to look at some kind of options. I do agree with both you guys and Chris when you said that they're trying to give us some hope or something like that. But it does seem like hope is waning for a lot of people. And with Toronto saying this June 30th date, that's really, really eye-opening. April 15th, I think that's a little bit optimistic. But June 30th, that almost kills everything, doesn't it?
No. Not when you've got the NHL openly talking about going into July and August.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I mean, it's possible, but and I shouldn't say it almost kills everything, but it certainly really, really puts it up there against the, you know, the very back of the you know, the backside of it, and there's probably gonna have to be some readjustment. I guess what I should have said more is the June 30th makes it look more and more like we're probably are gonna start just with the playoffs. I can't see them, unless it's very few regular season games, I don't see them finishing out the whole regular season and the playoffs with the training camp that you'd have to have as well.
No, I think we're kind of beyond the point where regular season games happen. I think that the NHL is in a position right now where if hockey resumes, it's resuming as playoff hockey. Now, that's not to suggest that it's going to only be a 16-team tournament, but I can't imagine that they're going to have time to squeeze in a little bit of regular season games, jump into the playoffs, get through the playoffs, award a Stanley Cup, have enough time to kind of decompress, do the draft, do free agency, and then move on to another season that's a full 82-game schedule. I just don't see that happening at this point. But I think that the plan really from jump was if there's a way to get the regular season in, great. But if it's not going to happen, the playoffs are really the only thing that matters.
Yeah, and obviously everything we're looking at right now is stuff that's unprecedented and we've never seen before. It's highly likely that should they go to the playoffs that we might see things on simultaneously. We might see playoffs going on at the same times coinciding with some end-of-the-season awards and maybe even possibly the draft or something like that all mixed in there depending on what date they could possibly get all this stuff started. And if not, certainly at the exact same time, certainly within an incredibly short distance between each other.
Yeah, I think that you're looking at a situation where all the draft and free agency and the kind of the fanfare that goes into all that can be parsed down to really the bare essentials, and you can get it done probably in a 4 to 7 day period. So you're not looking at a ton of time that you've got to devote to that. And I do think that it's going to be vital for there to be some type of offseason. And I understand that that's kind of ridiculous to say, given that the players are off right now, but you're not going to be able to go through a 16 or 24 team tournament, whatever it might end up being, and play incredibly intense hockey into a part of the year that you're not used to playing hockey, and then turning around and playing 82 games, trying to do it all again. I don't think that that's prudent for the NHL, so they're going to have to figure out a way to get some type of break for the players as they head into the next season.
Yeah, and like you said, too, the players are technically off right now physically, but mentally, this might be more stressful than the playoffs or anything else that anybody's experienced.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Let's go to a positive, upbeat thing, because today is an anniversary of the Vegas Golden Knights winning the Pacific Division.
So it's the two-year anniversary of that, yes, but it's also the two-year anniversary of the single greatest goal in Golden Knights history.
Drops it for Pavelski, and now Burns had it ticked away. William Karlsson looking for his second shorthanded goal in as many nights. And shot, score! What a goal! Through his own legs! William Karlsson, shorthanded, gives Vegas the lead!
Are you kidding me? William Karlsson pulls this move off at full speed. Might have the goal of the year. Great play, anticipation. He goes in all alone on Jones. Watch the finish. Between the legs, upstairs, over the glove. Well, there is your goal of the year. William Karlsson, number 42. And the Golden Knights have a 3-2 lead.
It was electrifying. It is the shorthanded goal. Turnstiling Brent Burns. Where have you heard that before? Flying through the neutral zone, settling the puck, forehand, backhand, between the legs, forehand over the blocker, over the stick of Martin Jones, bar down, William Karlsson, the greatest goal in Golden Knights history. Happy 2 years.
The only thing, Go ahead. The only thing about that goal that moment that I regret, I was down at ice level at the end of the ice where he scored that. Literally, it happened right in front of me, and I didn't have my camera out recording it.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like a shootout or anything.
No, but you knew
what was going to happen.
I was down there specifically to record the reaction of the crowd if they had won the division,
mm-hmm.
or when they won the division.
Sure.
And I dropped the ball. I failed.
Well, I don't know if you failed. Like Ryan said, it's not like it was a shootout goal or something like that. I mean, you unfortunately didn't know that the opportunity was going to present itself because you were trying to get something else, getting the crowd reaction to that. But certainly the biggest goal in Golden Knights history, the most iconic goal. And it's interesting because I remember all of us talking about it after that game happened and they clinched, and a lot of people thinking that he was hot-dogging and all that. But, Ryan, I know you brought it up, and we talked about it quite a bit. The move that he made, although it certainly did make it look pretty and it added to the excitement of it, if he doesn't go between the legs there, that might have been poke-checked away from him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he made the right play. He made the only play that he could in order to give himself a chance to score. Jones came in with the poke check. He pulled the puck away, and it just so happened the only place he had to go was between his own legs. Now, it went in, and it's great. If it doesn't go in, you probably have a different viewpoint of that entire play, but you know, you could kind of sense that was coming. As soon as the puck came out of the zone, and William Karlsson, with 41 goals to that point on the season, comes down that wing, you know what's about to happen. Like, you could sense that something big was going to take place, and William Karlsson did not shy away from that. He made it phenomenal, a great play. And you know what? I tweeted out today. I said, it's the most iconic goal in Golden Knights history. Is there ever going to be a goal that kind of rivals this? And a couple of people went to the Shea Theodore goal against the Tampa Bay Lightning with, I think, 2 seconds left. Now, great goal, but it was not this. It was not clinching the division. It was not between your own legs, shorthanded for your 42nd goal of the year. Like, there are a lot of different things that go into making this moment such a huge one for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, absolutely. The only goal that I would think that from because of the moment and the stage and everything else that I would put in comparison with it would maybe be Ryan Reeves' goal to beat Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's about what I was thinking. But I think in terms of just capping off an unbelievable season, I mean, that was the ultimate misfit goal, the William Karlsson goal. I mean, the Reeves goal was huge, obviously, and I don't know if you'll ever find a bigger goal than Ryan Reeves' goal. But in terms of what it meant to the franchise and just kind of putting your stamp on the season, I think it's hard to argue against the Karlsson goal.
Oh, no, and don't get me wrong. I was not arguing against it whatsoever. I'm just saying that's the only goal that I could even think on that same in that same category because of the moment, because of the way it was done, and the fact that it was Karlsson who came out of nowhere, who John Tortorella, when they came into town, said, I wish he would have scored more goals for us, has the 43-goal season, and the fact that it was shorthanded as well. It's like everything just everything just aligned perfectly, and he was the guy that did it at the magical moment. It couldn't have been more fitting. It couldn't have been a bigger moment. And the way that Jones played it, like you mentioned, Ryan, the fact that he did the only thing that he could do basically to score the goal, but he did score the goal. I mean, everything just aligned perfectly for Vegas on that particular play in that moment.
And you can't discount who it came against.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No, not at all.
In fact, I was just kind of sitting here thinking, it's like, I wonder when Pete DeBoer watches that now, is he excited about it because Carlson is that he's coaching, or does he still look at it and go, dang, I hate that play?
I don't know that he's going to spend a lot of time looking at that play, if I'm being honest.
Well, he might today, because if he watches the news or anything today, I'm sure it's going to be all over the place.
Well, you mean if he's watching Ryan the Hockey Guy's Twitter feed, then yes,
well,
of course.
Ryan the Hockey, yeah,
with his
absolutely.
Burner account.
Ryan the Hockey Guy's Twitter feed, but also every, I mean, if you turn on TV, anything locally here right now, that is all over the place.
Oh, well, that's cool. The NHL, as we mentioned yesterday, has a bracket-style challenge that is the best moments of the 2019-20 NHL season, .. so far. And the Colorado Avalanche won their first round matchup by a landslide. So now we have day number two. And the Colorado Avalanche and also the Nashville Predators are featured, but not for good things, for really, really bad things. We're going to go ahead and get to the video package or to the audio package, and then we're going to discuss it. Connor McDavid's 6-point night or Matthew Tkachuk's unreal goal.
In yesterday's matchup, the Avalanche's 6 goals in 8 minutes advanced past Ryan Miller's trade for Thin Mints. This is today's matchup. Connor McDavid's 6-point night.
Wow, what a night for Connor McDavid, and the Habs fly here at Rogers Place.
Versus Matthew Tkachuk's between the legs OT game-winning goal.
Less than a second left in overtime. Tkachuk with a beauty.
Matthew Tkachuk at the buzzer between the legs. What a way to end it.
You decide who moves on.
All right, Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, I watched both of these. Obviously, a 6-point night is something incredible, not something that totally shocks you with Connor McDavid. And Tkachuk, although a lot of people think of him as, you know, an instigator and causing a lot of stuff, is actually a very skilled hockey player, so I thought it was interesting. I voted for the one that I didn't think was going to win because I thought with the anniversary of William Karlsson's goal, Tkachuk's goal kind of reminded me of that more, and so I actually went with Tkachuk, although I thought McDavid would win because he's more popular. 6 points is 6 points. We know that Colorado won their first-round match with a 6-goal first, so we have the 6 theme going on once again. I didn't think Tkachuk was going to win, but I really liked his goal, and I liked the moment of it being in overtime and that, so I voted for the one that I thought would get the least votes, but the one that I actually thought was the more impressive play because it is a moment, and McDavid was an entire game. It wasn't necessarily a moment.
Okay, so a couple things. First, the irony. The full circle nature of the fact that the Colorado Avalanche advanced because they scored 6 goals in 8 minutes, and now they're going to advance again because Connor McDavid scored 6 points against the Avalanche. I just think that's really funny. But I actually voted for Matthew Tkachuk. I love that goal. It's a lot. I mean, in terms of between your own legs goals, it's unique in that you're not really going to see anybody do that again. But what Matthew Tkachuk was able to do was just phenomenal. He really made a great play. He jumped in behind kind of that wave of pressure, and it's horrendous goaltending. And, you know, we talk about the Nashville Predators, and we wonder why they weren't that good this year. Well, it kind of boils right down to goaltending. But Matthew Tkachuk, that's a game winner. Again, Connor McDavid, he's going to have many a 6-point night. To me, the play, the moment for Matthew Tkachuk was bigger, but Connor McDavid is currently winning.
Well, I think we're going to make it unanimous here because I also voted for Matthew Tkachuk. I mean, Connor McDavid, there's so many moments with him that you're just jaws on the floor when he does stuff. I mean, 6 points is obviously a very, very impressive night. But when you look at the context of Matthew Tkachuk's goal, 1 second to go in overtime, to have the guts to try to do something like that in overtime, knowing if you miss, the game is going to a shootout and you could end up losing. But to pull it off, it's so impressive. I mean, like you said, Frank, he's a guy that a lot of people look at as an instigator and not so much a skilled player. He's both. He's an extremely skilled player, and he's a knucklehead. But when you look at the play, it's just so impressive. It's just an unbelievable display of skill, guts, and pulling it off, to me, is a lot more impressive than, I mean, it sounds crazy, right? A lot more impressive than a guy having 6 points, which is unbelievably impressive as well. But I went with Tkachuk.
Yeah, I got to admit, I'm a little bit surprised that we're all on the same page there, but I kind of like it. Let me ask you guys this, because I know we have Darren Millard coming up at the bottom of the hour. When you guys made your vote for Tkachuk, did you think he was going to win it? Because I literally didn't think that he had much of a shot because of McDavid's popularity, but I had to go for the one that I thought was the better moment.
I never play who I think will or won't lose. I always play what I think is the best play.
That's kind of how I'd roll as well. I mean, for me, yeah, I guess maybe a little bit. I'm like, because when I make these polls for play of the day, it's like, well, yeah, sometimes I put plays in that I don't think will win, but I find them impressive. And then there's times where I don't put plays in that some people think should win. And, well, you know how that goes. But, yeah, I don't think about the way people vote. I mean, I vote for what I feel is the better play. But I could understand, you know, wanting to vote for something that you feel is impressive but don't feel it's going to get the credit it deserves.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying that sways my vote one or another, but again, when I looked at it, I kind of had a feeling where it was going to go. I, like you guys, I tend to try to, in fact, not try to tend to, I try to pick what I think is the best player or whatever poll we put up or whatever, trying to be honest about it and keep the integrity of everything out there. But let's face it, a lot of times, even in stuff like this, it is a popularity contest, and McDavid is incredibly popular. So, Matthew Tkachuk gets all three votes from us. However, Connor McDavid will be the one moving on. And it's a good notice there, Ryan, too, that Colorado has now advanced in both days, one for a positive, one for a negative. Both of them have a six involved in it, six goals that they scored, but 6 points that they gave up to Connor McDavid. When we come back, we're going to speak with Darren Millard. Stick around, lots more to get to. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman, all here with you.
We're a team.
Now, we are indeed a team, and of course, part of the team, the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast team. When you watch the games on AT&T Sportsnet, you hear this gentleman does a great job talking about the team. Darren Millard making some time to join us now. And Darren, you know, we were just talking going into the break about this is the anniversary of Vegas clinching their first their first Pacific Division title, making the playoffs, obviously, that first season with William Karlsson's goal. Wanted to get your thoughts when you first saw that goal and you saw this team in that. What was going through your mind? Because we were talking, you know, some people thought it was kind of a hot dog goal or something the way he did it. But the poke check that Jones came out with, he did what he had to do. He got creative and unquestionably the most iconic goal in Vegas Golden Knights history up to this point.
Yeah, you know what? There's a couple of things, the layers that go into it. One is from the outside looking in, it was already a foregone conclusion that that the Golden Knights were going to make the playoffs, and so that was it was not anticlimactic, but it was because they've been so good that it was almost a formality locking down the playoffs. But how William did it, I don't think it was a hot dog move nowadays. When you look at how they can do it at speed and do it reactively instead of proactively, the way these players are able to make these moves, that's what's impressive to me is just being able to do it on the fly and change your approach in what you're going to do in a one-on-one situation and come up with that kind of move. It's so impressive.
If you were to look at that goal and say you look at Shea Theodore's goal with a couple of seconds left to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, this is an organization that has had some really big, impactful goals. But to me, what William Karlsson was able to do on the fly, shorthanded in that situation, is one of the most beautiful displays of talent, speed, accuracy, any attribute you want to throw at him. He delivered on a massive scale.
Well, I just think it sums up the entire opening year and the entire identity of this franchise is players coming up with massive performances on the biggest stage possible, and not just throwing the puck at the net, but making plays. And William Karlsson did that, Shea Theodore did that, and I'll go a step further and add a goal to it. The last second goal in Nashville this year, in which Mark Stone makes a behind-the-back no-looker to Max Pacioretty, when any other player in the league might just throw it at the net and hope he gets a lucky break. He makes a play with under 2 seconds to go and leads to a goal. So I think it's just not just the heroics of the plays and the timing of the goals, but that they're massively skilled plays, whether it's mental or physical, and they come through. It's pretty incredible for a bunch of misfits. They come up with some pretty high level entertaining plays.
Yeah, for such a short term of an existence, yeah. This team has a lot of iconic goals. Speaking with Darren Millard here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Darren, you mentioned at the top of the interview here how, you know, in that first season you were on the outside looking in, but you got a chance to see the team and all that. Now you're part of the organization, you work with the team, you see everybody on a day-to-day basis, you see how everything is done. What, if anything, has surprised you about this organization that you heard some good things about it, but maybe didn't realize that something was even a little bit better or something different than you expected?
I don't know whether, Frank, you can go surprising, but just the level of professionalism. And I've known Kelly McCrimmon for a long time, so I knew what I was getting in Kelly. George McPhee and I know each other from being around the league. So I'm not surprised at that, but from the top down, what Bill Foley's been able to do and then layer it and the lack of, ego, the lack of wanting to do something and be rewarded for it on a personal level, that goes strictly against, what you see here. It is all team. It is all everybody in it together, and it's very incredibly professional and well run. So I know that there's certain teams and certain organizations that have leeway to branch out and go down those paths. But while you may have personalities in this room, and there are personalities, as you guys know, in that dressing room, it is very much everybody pulling in one direction, and I think what really shone through was how good that dressing room was during the course of the struggles at certain points this year before they turned the corner.
You know, Darren, you bring up turning the corner, and I think one of the big things that the Golden Knights needed to discover this season was their identity, what their identity was going to be night in and night out. Do you feel like this team discovered it before the pause? And if so, what did you think that was?
So identity, I don't think they ever lost their identity, so to speak, but I do think that this organization struggled with consistency. And the consistency part of it, they played some really good games. But what happened was they would play five bad minutes. So I think that they were always closer to playing their identity and being the Vegas Golden Knights all the way along. They just couldn't put either a consistent string of games or a full 60 minutes together. I think it was more after the pause. I don't think they were there before the All-Star break and the bye week. I certainly think it happened after that, where they developed that full 60-minute performance and put it all together. But I do believe that they were always closer than what their record looked to being their true identity.
You know, Darren, in this day and age of social media, of course, when the team was struggling a bit, everybody gets a chance to chime in and give a lot of things. And we heard a lot of people talking about the Vegas Golden Knights needed a captain. They needed somebody in that locker room, the leader or whatever. We know that this team hasn't had one. Do you think that is the situation? Do you think that Vegas should name a captain? Or do you think right now the team is just fine because their moniker since day one has been, we have 23 captains in this room, we don't need to necessarily name one. It seems like it's working out pretty good. Of course, everybody wants a solution and they think there's a quick fix to it. But do you think that Vegas needs a captain? Do you think that they'll name one eventually? And who do you think those leading candidates would be if they did?
Well, there's a lot there. I'll start with, I'm a traditionalist. I like having a captain. This is an exception because there are so many leaders and it's such a young franchise that that you can't convince me that this club would be better if somebody skated out on the ice with a letter C on the front of their jersey. It's just, that's not reality. And it's not going to have an impact on wins or losses. Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, John Marchessault, Marc-Andre Fleury, Derek Englund, go down the list. There's a great leadership group within that dressing room. So I do anticipate. I would think that they will have a captain in the coming years, whether it's next year or the year after. I don't know. There's certainly you have a captain of the Montreal Canadiens in that dressing room. You'd have to look long and hard to find a more historic franchise than the Montreal Canadiens and having that honor. And Max Pacioretty, Mark Stone hasn't been a captain in the National Hockey League, but would I ever blink and if they named him the captain? Not a chance because of what he means to the team. So I think it's there. It would be very easy to name a captain, but I don't think they by any means need it beyond just going down the road of getting us to stop asking and having the discussion about having a captain.
You know, Darren,
I don't think we're that influential.
You know, Darren, when you sit back and kind of look at how this year has progressed, what's the one word that you would use to describe it and why?
Evolution, probably, from the start of the year and the injuries that both we knew about and that like William Karlsson was dealing with something at the start of the year and didn't take draws for a number of games. I think that it was a real evolution this season and it was a grind. There was doubts. There's no question that this is the most talented team that the Golden Knights have iced in 3 years, and it was harder to find that successful formula. So whether you want to use grind or evolution, those would be the two terms that I would label this season going into the pause where they finally were coming off the sweep against the Alberta teams and able to really solidify themselves as that first place club and have that 3-point gap. Edmonton and Calgary going head to head in your greatest moments bracket too. I noticed that you guys all snubbed Connor McDavid.
I'm a sucker,
and I'm like, okay, a guy scores in overtime to give his team a bonus point.
Yeah,
a bonus point, and the other guy scores a bag full of points and has an all-world game, and you guys go, the other one was fancier.
Yeah,
so let's
pretty
go
much.
There.
Yeah, no, I'm fully admitting that, like, you give me flashy, and I'm going to jump right on it. And I remember the Matthew Tkachuk one. And you know what? Connor McDavid, he's to a different standard.
You almost expect a 6-point night
from
him.
What do you want? Do you want Sittler's 10, and then you'll give it to him?
Yes. Yes, I do. 100%.
Now, Darren, you did mention that you were listening to. Remember, I did preface it by saying on the anniversary of Wild Bill's goal, that did lean me in that direction a little bit more, too.
Don't so was, try and bail yourselves out of this.
Oh, I'm not trying to. I'm shameless.
Excuses.
I'm shameless.
I'm not making an excuse. I still think we have the right call.
Speaking,
like it was to get the bonus point, and even if he missed that, he was still going to get a chance in the shootout. And the other one, and the Oilers, when you look back, were losing in that game against Nashville, and McDavid had that massive third period.
Speaking of Shameless, which I am in voting for Matthew Tkachuk, and I'm totally fine with it. I don't care. There will be many people that will tell me I'm wrong. I do want to find out your opinions, your thoughts on Tiger King, and give me one or two reasons why Frank needs to watch this show.
Well, the pure spectacle of it is sensational. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and they said, well, I don't like animals, and I get emotional about it. I'm like, you won't even notice that there's an animal in the darn show. It's that surreal. And this won't ruin anything for you, Frank, but that, that serenade Carol's husband gives her at the end of the show just tops the whole darn thing off. Like you can't get more bizarre than this dude doing that in front of the camera, and he's full on serious what he's doing. And I'm like, there's like three people in the world that would do that. And like, who's the most normal character of them all? And I think it's Tiger King, which says a lot about everybody else in the show.
Okay. Well, I mean, I hear an awful lot about it.
You're doing yourself a disservice if you do not watch this. Not from a from everybody else's watching it, but from a this is going to be what comes out of the COVID-19 pop culture memory.
I can definitely see that, because everybody posts about it every time. I turn on the news, and the broadcasters and weathermen and everybody else, they're all talking about they're going to go home and watch it that night.
I didn't know anything about it until talk radio got me here and went home, and separately, my wife and I both said almost at the same time, let's check out this Tiger King thing. And we've like binge watched. I'm not a binge watcher. I'm more of a reader. And I couldn't get enough of this thing. It was bizarre, sensational, spectacular, troubling, and surreal all at the same time.
I started it for the second time today.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
I think the guy in the hat, the movie, the news producer.
Yes.
I think he's one of the great characters of all time.
Oh yeah.
Did you see the 10 memes that are out? Like about homeschooling your kids, and there's 10 Tiger King memes. it's taken over COVID-19 from a pop culture standpoint. So watch it.
You heard it, Frank. Watch it. Go on.
Well, I've heard it from you guys. No, I've heard it from Darren.
So
Stormy told us about it too. Yeah, I get it.
Like the one guy tried to while he was here. He got in trouble here. not that he's the first one to do that, but I'm telling you, that Tiger King gets out of jail, he'll be throwing the opening pitch or dropping the puck or whatever.
Maybe he'll sound the horn
as soon as he's out.
All right, Darren, where can people follow you on social media, and what are you up to these days?
Doing some VGK Fitness Challenge. We did a Knights report today with Stormy, Mike, and Dan Duva. We all talked about what our playoff format would be coming out of the pause. So we got some really good suggestions there. Some are off the wall, some are neat. And then we've also got the VGK Book Club. Have you guys signed up for that? You guys are readers. I listen to you. You guys all like crack and open a book. We're reading The Game by Ken Dryden. We're only two chapters in, so catch up.
Yeah, I'm actually reading a book about Randy Couture right now. So, the Reader's Club sounds like a great thing. So, what's that? I read it years ago.
Yeah, me too. And it's fascinating reading it again. It tripped down memory lane.
Is it better than Tiger King?
I would say Ken Dryden and Tiger King are probably polar opposites of the of the entertainment spectrum. if you've had a conversation with Ken. They both like to talk. I'll say that. But they could both spin a yarn, but very different approaches.
All right. Well, maybe you guys need to get together with Chris and Ryan and have your top 8 or 16 moments from Tiger King or something like that, and have brackets for that or
Frank,
something.
Frank, did I not convince you? Or you're still holding out?
No, I'm reading a book right now.
he'll do this forever.
Like, you can read for an hour, and you can watch Tiger King for an hour.
All right, well, I'm still waiting for Ryan to give me his password. So
you're
we'll
afraid. You're afraid to buy in and Ryan and Chris being right. That's what you're afraid of.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm not sure fear has anything to do with this. I kind of like to. I just hate following the flow and being one of those. So we'll see how it plays out. Maybe someday.
Swimming upstream.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, Darren, thanks a lot for the time. We hope to talk to you soon. And yeah, and enjoy your fit challenge and everything else you're doing out there. And hopefully we see you at T-Mobile in the not-too-distant future.
You bet. Be good, be safe, be healthy.
All right, Darren Millard there with us. Back to wrap it up next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back. Wrapping it up. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman all here with you. And thanks to Darren Millard for joining us there in that last segment. Big fan of Tiger King, like it seems like almost everybody is these days. Also a big fan of Connor McDavid and thought that we got it wrong, guys.
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, I like flashy goals. what do you want me to say? I'm shameless. It is what it is. Like, I also really like the way Matthew Tkachuk plays because he's kind of a jerk. And I'm a big fan of the Carolina Hurricanes because they're jerks too. And you
one
know,
of these guys are jerks or something?
Said it just for that, just for the drop. But you know who's not going to get on the bandwagon is Frank Harnish. He is not going to watch Tiger King. I can guarantee it. And that's okay, because tomorrow we're going to open the show with I Saw a Tiger by Joe Exotic.
And then I think our rejoin will be
Here Kitty Kitty.
Here Kitty Kitty.
Joe Exotic Maldonado Passage Shrievogel. Dude's got like 17 last names. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, well, I did find something else that I am enjoying watching that I just discovered last night, and that
Tiger
is a
King.
Dark Side of the Ring.
Tiger
about,
King.
Behind-the-scenes stories about the professional wrestling. Tonight, I believe the episode is going to be about New Jack City and the stuff that he's done, so I found that fascinating last night, so I'm going to watch that again tonight and probably read a little bit more of Becoming the Natural by Randy Couture.
Tiger King is better.
For us. JT the Brick is up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.